Thanks so much for having me join today.
Well, we've been talking a lot about wildfires. The mayor of Port Alberni joined us earlier talking about a fire that has blocked the highway to that community. I know this is something you have really studied, looking back even as far as the Elephant Hill fire in BC in 2017. What are your thoughts when we look at what's happening? Here we are, early June, and what's happening with wildfires already?
It's really scary already. We're above the long-term average in terms of the area that's been burned. There's a number of fires of note burning around the province, of fires that are directly affecting communities and critical infrastructure. And we still have these hot and dry conditions that have lagged from the fall. So it's looking to be another potentially big wildfire season here in BC.
And when you look back at other fires and things that we have learned from those fires, we often talk about forest management. Are we doing enough to make it so we're not as susceptible to these fires? What are your thoughts on how we are kind of preparing for them?
So a lot of my research, like you said, is focused on some of the big fires from 2017. We're actually looking at what happens after the fire as well in terms of forest management and recovery. And there's definitely a lot that we can be doing at all different scales in terms of proactive management, whether that's at the individual or household scale, fire smarting our properties, also community resilience planning. And then, of course, looking at how forests are managed, particularly under climate change. You know, are we planting diverse species? Are we addressing, you know, the last century where we've actually taken fire out of these ecosystems and allowed that flammable vegetation and that fuel to build up? So we need to be looking at addressing risk at all of these different scales.
And it almost seems counterintuitive when you think about controlled burns or doing things like that to prevent forest fires. But how important is that?
It's really important. And what's more important is that it's done in the right way, in the right ecosystems, under the right conditions. So it's not a blanket, let's just burn all of the forests, of course. It's about trying to understand how would these forests have burned either naturally with wildfire ignitions or particularly with indigenous cultural burning. So that active intentional application of fire to the land. How are our forests adapted to these different types of fires? And how can we start to reintroduce that now?
Are we spending enough time doing that, learning from indigenous practices and what has been done in the past?
I think there is increasing recognition within wildfire agencies, research, and in the broader public of the role of Indigenous peoples in addressing wildfire risk. My research really showed that Indigenous peoples, I worked with the Squamish Nation communities, really played a leadership role when fires affected their territories. And that's everything from advising agencies coming in on the best access routes or availability of water sources, guiding people through the maze of Forest Service roads, showing fire agency staff how fire works within their particular valley or territory, and then obviously just being those guardians or territorial patrol out on the land and actually being the first responders in many cases to fires that start in their territory.
And even looking back, and I know your study has looked a lot again at those fires in 2017, but if we look back even a couple of years and the destruction of the entire town of Lytton, there certainly has been a lot of talk about clearing the brush from railways to reduce the fire hazards of sparks coming from trains, even things like that, that seem like they would be obvious, but clearly we're not doing enough of that, or it seems like we're not.
Yeah, and I think you could even expand that to, again, thinking about the province more broadly. There has been a lot more attention and investment to fuel treatment, so reducing that flammable vegetation in forests around communities in what we term the wildland-urban interface. But we need to be looking more broadly throughout the forests and integrating that into forest management practices. So, again, addressing the risk right near communities, but then also scaling that up much more widely.
Is it becoming more of a challenge as well, do you think, because we're seeing communities expand and we're seeing more human development and more human living in areas that maybe in the past would have been more remote?
I think we're seeing that in the statistics for the fires here in BC already. About 60% of the fires that have occurred this season so far have been human caused, whether that's unintentionally throwing a cigarette butt out the window or a campfire that's got out of control. So we're seeing a lot more people not only living in these forested areas, but recreating in these forested areas. So we need to be really vigilant. And again, it's also thinking about how do we strategically plan our cities and our communities? How do we build with more fire-resistant materials? And maybe there are some areas that we shouldn't be building into.
You mentioned as well the vegetation or what we're planting and when we're reforesting, making sure that it's different types of species that are regrowing. How important is that, looking specifically at species? I mean, I remember talking about the pine beetle wood that was very flammable, the dead wood. But how important is it as we regrow and replant those areas, we are specifically looking at how it's going to grow in terms of fire risk?
It's really critical, particularly under climate change and thinking about what species are going to be adapted to the conditions that we're starting to see. And then also potentially using some of these fires as an opportunity to reset. Perhaps fires were burning through areas that had been, you know, dramatically disturbed through harvesting, through planting with single species, through pine beetle, like you said. Is this an opportunity to regenerate and restore with a more diverse mix of species? The communities I work with are really focusing on deciduous plants and then also shrubs and berry bushes that are important for wildlife, important for their communities, and that can potentially slow the spread of fire through these areas.
And do you think that, given again that it is early on in the season and we're dealing with these fires, not only the one that's blocking the road to Port Alberni, but others in the province, is it a learning opportunity and one that should also be a bit of a wake-up call?
It's interesting, that term wake-up call. You know, we say that every year when we have, you know, new statistics broken, new record area burns. But 2003 was a wake-up call in BC. And then 2017 was talked about as another wake-up call. So I think we've been having these wake-up calls for a very long time. And we're really past the time, we're really at that point in time where we need to be acting on this. We've learned a lot from these past fire seasons. And there's really no excuse not to be changing our approaches to management, to how we manage and respond to fire, and then also how we proactively prepare as communities.
All right. It's very good information. Sarah Dixon-Hoyle, we'll leave it there for today, but thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks again, Jill.